I'm really very glad because of my Amharic students. My Amharic students are always excellent, and they are singing with us perfectly well, and I'm proud of them, and we thank the Lord for this. As you know, I have been in Ethiopia for the last 2 weeks. I was not here last 2 Sundays, and I had a few plans to achieve there while I was in Ethiopia, and I'm always thankful for your prayers. You prayed always for safety, protection, as well as achievement while I was in Ethiopia. And I had few things achieved there. I met the Bible Society office, and also had the a meeting with the committee, and we had a good time together. And I went to Debre Brahan, in the place where we planted a church, and I was there on the first week of my being there on Friday evening, and also the whole Saturday and Sunday I was teaching there at Christian Baptist Church, and Christian Baptist Church and Debre Brahan Baptist Church joined together, and they had this joint teaching time, and I was teaching about marriage, family life, and how married couple get along together, being strong in the Lord and in family life, as well as I taught for young teenage university students how to pursue their future marital life. And it went very well, with thank God. I had a very bad throat problem, and I was not able to speak as I am as I ought because of throat problem. But the Lord has helped me, and your prayers were helpful as well. On Monday last week, I met with the 5 missionaries were there, so I met with them, and we had good time together, and we discussed about the work of the Lord around Afar area and also around Debre Brahan, and they are making progress, and they are thankful for you and for your prayers as well. And also the Lord opened an amazing opportunity for me to meet with Gideon International. People, you know Gideon International, a kind of Bible society. The Bible Society, Trinitarian Bible Society, was always desiring to meet with some people from Gideon International. But it happened that one man was looking for me. He was asking how he meets me, how he can contact with me, and he asked people, and he got my telephone and email. He contacted me, but it was a surprise. I know this man for 27 years ago, and he was a member of my church, and he got married with one of the main founder of the church. And he told me he was coming to my office every Wednesday night, and it was a surprise. But you know, this man is East African Gideon International director, so the right person I met, and I had a meeting with him, and he has prepared a special meeting in his church, in another church, a big church, around 80 leaders from that church gathered together, and I give my presentation to them, and they were really surprised by the work of the Bible Society. We are working in the new translation, and I thank God for that. This is an amazing opportunity, because TBS, Trinitarian Bible Society, was looking for a man to meet from Gideon International people. And last Sunday, I was preaching in one church. That church asked me to preach especially about sound and its evil effect. So it was a big church, and I didn't expect this opportunity to come up. So I preached the word of God, and I explained how sound can damage the mind, the heart, and the ear of people. So in many churches, the sound, the loudness of the sound is unbearable. It's amazing. And the lady who was hired by the Bible Society to assist me in Ethiopia and working in the office, stood up and told to the people that she has a master's degree from pharmacy, and she told them that she knew that there are many people who are not able to go to church and who are not able to go anywhere. They are homebounded because the sound effect damaged the tiny ciliary cells, about 60,000 of them in our ear, and they are responsible for to keep our balance. And these people just fail and fail and fail. They cannot go out to the church because of the evil effect of sound. And I'm thankful for the Lord because people are now getting a good understanding of how evil practice in the churches can affect the life and even the health of many people. So thank you very much for your prayers. Now, this morning, I have a message to preach about... my note is here. Based on Jeremiah chapter 17, for those Amharic speakers, Ermias Asra Sabat, Jeremiah chapter 17, I focus on verse 1. But before we go to the word of God, let us pray together. Our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness, mercy, and love you demonstrated for us on Calvary Cross. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you because of him we have got this amazing and wonderful salvation no one can give us. So we thank you for this, and we praise you. And now, as we are going to hear your word, gracious Lord, come and bless each one of us, open our hearts and understandings, and bless us and be with us, encourage and strengthen us, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. My subject, as you see, is the writing upon the heart. This message has been in my heart for so many years, but I didn't preach it as I ought to. So I prepared this message, and this particular verse in chapter 17, verse 1, says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." So I just broke it down according to the grammatical structure, as you see it on the screen. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven, it is written, graven, upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. I want to mention few background points about this particular verse. The chapter as a whole, this Jeremiah 17, is wonderful chapter. It can be divided into three sections. The first one is the depths of Judah's sin, chapter 17, 1 to 13, and which exposes so many things. You see, people's sin is difficult to deal with because of our sins. We sinned against our Creator, against our God, and we cut off ourselves from his presence and from his kindness. There are about 5 different follies of sinful men written in chapter 17, verse 1 to 13. I'm not going through them because my focus is on verse 1. And the second portion is Jeremiah's prayer from chapter 17, verse 14 to 18. And the third section is example of Judah's disobedience. Judah, the so-called people of God, were sinning against God. And the example that is mentioned is breaking the Sabbath, chapter 17, 19 to 23. This is the outline of the chapter, as we can see from the chapter. But since my point is on verse 1, I want to concentrate and focus on verse 1. The writing is mentioned. My subject, as I have mentioned earlier, is the writing upon the heart. This is exposed by God. You see, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. This is amazing. There is something written in the heart of the people of Judah. This is exposed by God. The prophet is not the one who is speaking about this writing. It is God who is speaking through the prophet. So God is exposing what is in the heart of humanity, in the heart of the people of Judah. You may ask some questions about what is going on in humanity. What is going on, really, in the entire world? So many things are going crazy. What is the real reason why things are going on like this? The people of Judah are going to be judged. God is going to judge them. Babylonians are going to come and to exile all of the people of Judah. Jerusalem, which was the holy city, is going to be taken by Babylonians, the heathen, the Gentiles. Why is that? This is all because of the sin of the people of Judah and the sin of our nature is also a problem in us. And we have to understand what the deep problem of humanity is. But I have a question here. Who wrote this particular writing upon the heart of the people of Judah? I have points here to mention. Humanity as a whole is born in sin. We know that we are born in sin. After we born in sin, we do sin time and again. And we ourselves are writing upon our heart the writing that is actually written in our heart. God never wrote a sin in our heart, another man is not going to write sin upon our heart. We ourselves are writing sin in our heart. Here, the all-knowing God is exposing our deepest problem, sin, and what we are doing is written upon our heart time and again. And I was thinking about this. Writing is done from the time of birth up to our age, how many things could be written in our heart? How many sin? The number of sin that can be written in the heart of humanity would be tremendous, amazingly, very, very much. It cannot be really counted. But this particular verse is amazing, and it is also telling us the instrument of writing. You know, when we write a particular thing, we use a paper and a pen, a fountain pen. But here, the Lord God is exposing one particular thing, mentioning the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is amazing. The fountain pen and a particular ballpoint pen like this is not used to write upon the heart. The Lord is exposing this. This exposition can tell us that the heart of people is so hard, like a stone and like a wood, like anything hard you can imagine. You don't write with a pen of iron on a paper. If you try to write with a pen of iron on a paper, it will be torn apart. And further, the Lord explained that the writing instrument is also a point of diamond. I don't know whether if you know what diamond is. Diamond, by nature, is the hardest thing in the entire world. I mean, there is no hard thing as a diamond. So it is hard. It can cut iron. It can cut anything. So the writing is done by the point of diamond. That means the writing is engraved in the heart of people. So no one can just erase it by any means. I will come to discuss about that. So the depth of the matter is explained by the instrument of writing. But where is this particular scene written is also must be asked. Look, the second portion of verse 1. It is graven upon the table of their heart, upon the table of their heart, and upon the horns of your altars. You see, it is amazing. Sin is written upon the heart and upon the horns of their altars. This, the horns of their altars, the altars in the Old Testament is a place of sacrifice. You present a sacrifice upon it, and you bring sin offering on the altar, and it must be holy, it must be pure, in order for our reconciliation with the Lord to be effective. But it represents the worship as well. The horn of the altar represents the worship of the Lord. You see, in the life and in the practice of Judah, the people of Judah, the altar was assigned by the Lord, and it had to be pure and holy, but sin was written on the altar. This is exactly what is going on in this entire Christian circle. You know, the worship of the Lord is corrupted. The heart is corrupted. All instruments of the world is brought into the church, and people are shouting, and shouting is there, and they didn't know how much the altar of the Lord is spoiled and corrupted. It is full of sin. People are telling lies from the pulpit. People are telling false promises from the pulpit, and people are telling so many things which shouldn't be told from the pulpit of the Lord. So the altar has a writing. It is a writing of sin. Sin is written on the altar. The altar is corrupted. But I have to continue my point here in my next page, the writing and its influence. We may ask, what is the influence of the writing? The sin is written in the heart, and sin is written on the horns of the altars. What is the influence of this particular writing in the heart of people? We must understand this influence, and I have so many points to mention here. The writing has an influence in the life of everyone who has that writing, and it has a guiding influence. It has a corrupting influence, if you like. It has a deceiving influence, and it has also a blinding influence. This is the influence of the writing in the heart of people. You see, young and old, influenced by this writing, and they are going astray, and they are not coming to the Lord, and they are loving world and the worldly things. What we are seeing in the history of humanity is the influence of this writing everywhere among every nation. Its influence sometimes could be impulsive. I want to mention this because the writing in the heart can be impulsive, can be urgent to do so many things without us even mentioning it and knowing it. Some people are going to so many deep sinful activities because of the impulsive nature of the writing. It has this kind of influence. Some people commit unthinkable sins, even suicide, even depression, so many things. Why do people hate one another? Why do people kill one another? Even here in Indianapolis, we hear so many people are dying day after day. Why do people do that? Because there is an influence from the writing inside that comes out in so many activities. Why do people lie? Why do people divorce? Why do families divorce? There is a writing, evil writing, in the heart of humanity. And no one is free of this writing unless someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent their sins, and trust on him. Why do people live a morally corrupted life to the extent of the government office? All is rooted and is caused by that writing. I have to add another point. The writing is the source of everything. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ explained, if you come and read the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke, as well as in the Gospel of Mark, especially, I have pointed here Matthew chapter 15 from verse 15 to 20. The Lord Jesus Christ was answering the question of the disciples. The disciples came to him and asked him, What are you planning to say about when you say that a thing that enters into the life of, into the body of humanity is not corrupting or is not defiling people's life? And they asked him about this. And the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 19 answered as the following. He says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thought, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, blasphemies." Can you see what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying? The heart has all these things inside of us. And the Lord said, this is the Lord, the all-knowing Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts." So there is writing in the heart about evil thoughts. And there is a writing in the heart about murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, blasphemies, betrayals, and so many things. These are all written in the heart of humanity. And the reason why humanity are killing each other and why human beings are telling lies to one another is because the heart is full of sinful writings. That is our nature. That is us. This is the exact exposure of us from the Lord, our God, who knows us best. He knows us best. Some people want us to tell us that we are good. Don't worry, you are good. There is a great potential in your mind and in your heart. They are telling us, but they are deceiving us. The Lord, who exposes our nature, tells us that our heart is full of writing, our own writing in our heart. That has a great defiling influence. Then the Lord Jesus Christ continued in verse 20. These are all written, and these that are coming out of the heart of people are the ones that defiles people. So we are corrupted and we are defiled, humanity, because of the sin that is written in our heart. It distorts our human life. It takes away our human joy. It takes away our human peace and human relations, and human communication is also distorted because of this writing that is in the heart of humanity. We must be really careful to understand what is inside of us. And the worship, the same worship that I mentioned earlier, the writing on the horns of the altar, the altars, the place of sin offering, is defiled and corrupted by sinful liars and false prophets and false people who are desiring to destroy the true life of humanity, and they are defiling it by the sin that is written on the altar, which was supposed to be holy and pure and representing the true and the living God, our God. So let me read again chapter 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. So two things are corrupted: the worship and the inside of humanity. But my next question is, can the writing be erased? This is my question. The writing, can it be erased? We have to ask this question, and I had to ask this question. The Bible is amazing revelation from God. It is true, and it is a true revelation of what God had planned to tell to humanity. Can it be erased? Is there any hope for humanity? Humanly speaking, there is no hope at all, because we cannot help ourselves. We cannot erase it. It is deeply engraven in our heart and in our soul. But if we turn to God and if we come to Him, there is a great hope. In our God and from our God's perspective, there is hope. There is hope with God. Yes, it can be erased, even if it is engraved in our heart and in our human nature. It can be erased. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the good news. I declare this morning to you, the good news and the message of the Bible is that this engraved sin in our human nature and in our heart and everywhere, wherever it is, it can be erased through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary Cross. The Lord Jesus Christ came to dwell among us, and He lived, and He taught, and He preached the gospel, and He finally gave Himself to die on the cross of Calvary, and He died there on Calvary Cross to totally erode, or if you like, erase that sinful nature from the heart of humanity. So all the influence of sin, its guidance to wrong and eternal punishment, can be reversed because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its defilement in our life, memory of sin, and the pain of the consequence of sin, and the pain of guilt, can be erased from our heart and our mind because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we must be thankful for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who can erase the deeply engraved sin in the life of people. The sin its unsettling influence. Its unsettling influence. Some people are unsettled in whatever they think. This unsettling influence of sin can be continuously and for good can be removed from our heart and mind because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its bad influence on character. Some people's character is not predictable. They can be good sometimes, bad sometimes. It's amazing when you see the character of people. So its bad influence on character, on moral character, its bad influence in inconsistent character, and so on, can be corrected, can be erased from the heart and mind and nature of people. But how? How can this be? It is by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His death and suffering, his love in doing so, is to erase the writing we wrote in our hearts. His work on Calvary will erase it. I have something to read for you this morning as I am continuing speaking about this. Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 25. The Lord God said like this. Isaiah 43:25. I, said the Lord, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions from mine own sake, for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Look what is written. The Lord said, I, even I, it is only I, said the Lord, that can blotteth out, that means that can erase your transgression from wherever it is written. So the Lord our God is promising that he is the only one who can erase the sin that is written in our heart. Verse 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. So he is telling us, I am the only one who can erase it, and you must come to me, and you must plead with me, and tell me what you've done, what you have written on your heart, and declare it for me, and I will justify you. That means I will erase it, and I will make you clean from whatever is defiling you and corrupting you. So this is the message of our God. This is the message of the gospel. So God, on his own sake, for his own sake, not for our sake, but for his own sake, because of his love, because of his care, because of his compassion, because he doesn't want us to be punished in eternity, punishment, because of that, he wants us to blot out, that means erase out, the sin that is written in our heart. David, that man of God, understood this very well. And he said in Psalm 51, verse 9, he pleaded before the Lord about his sin. And in verse 9, he said, hide thyself from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. So he is humbly asking, blot out all my iniquities from my heart. I am sinful. I cannot approach you. You are holy, most holy, righteous and gracious God. So don't look upon me, but please blot out my sin and my iniquities from my heart. So if we come and approach God, if we come and expose ourselves before him and ask him, please forgive me and erase the sin that I have been writing for several years before his presence. And if we ask him, he will forgive us, and he will forgive us for good, and we will be given new nature and new heart and new world view, if you like. But my final point, before I come to invitation, What can be written instead of it? Is there something that can be written? And in my topic here, in my subtopic here, the writing, any writing, I want to mention few things about any writing. Once sin is eroded or erased, we will see change in our life. We will receive new heart. We will receive new conscience. We will receive and we will get new experience and new life once we are forgiven. We will have true joy, peace of mind. That is true. I have seen it when the Lord forgave me and when the Lord erased that sin I have written from childhood. We will then be living testimony for our Savior, showing his love and his wonderful peace we get from him. And he will write on the table of our heart anything. Jeremiah, this prophet, has all this writing thing in his prophecy. And if you come to chapter 31, it is amazingly mentioned in Hebrews chapter 8 as well. But let us focus in Jeremiah chapter 31. In the same book, the prophet Jeremiah has spoken to the people of Judah and for us too. Jeremiah 31:31-34. I will read it for you. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, says the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, once the writing is erased from our heart, the Lord our God is going to write anything in the heart of those who trusted him and those who asked him forgiveness and those who asked him to erase their sin that is written upon their heart. And he says, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. So the Lord our God, instead of our writing that has so many influences, so many bad influences, now he is going to write upon heart his own law. It's amazing. If his law is written in our inside, in our heart, and we will be transformed to be in his, or to live a life in his own image. And he will be our God, and we shall be his people. He will guide us. Rather than sin guiding us and influencing us for good, to go to hell and to go to punishment, now our God will, instead of sin written on us, he will write his own law and his own grace and his own love, his own work in us, and we will be reformed, where I mean we'll be converted, we'll be given new nature, and then by that new nature we will follow him and follow him, and we'll be his people, and he will be our God, and our relationship with him will be right, and our relationship with other people will also be right, and we will be following our God. And my final invitation this morning is going to be like that. Friends, we can come to the Lord and ask him, just as David was asking. We can come to him and ask him, please blot out my sin and my iniquity from my heart, and erase it from my heart, and take me to your own, to and make me your own people. And we can come and ask him to blot out. Why do we wait? Why do we suffer from the sinful influence that is written in our heart? Don't die with sin written upon your heart. It can be erased by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven, and he will write in your heart a new life and a new law. And you will be changed, and you will have new outlook and new life, new joy that is becoming the people of God. This new life and new law will never fail you. The sin that is written in the heart will always fail us, was always failing us. We hope something and we failed. We hope sin could give us joy, but it fails us miserably. Failing, people are failing time and again from the sinful influence they are having in their heart. But this one never fails you. Never, never fails you. It will build you up in character and in manner. It will build you up in honesty and in godliness. It will build you up to be like Christ, and it will help you to be filled and encouraged and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will have eternal security and will have power to defeat sin and temptation. While we were in sin, we were always defeated, and we were always giving up to temptation. But now, this one will help us to defeat sin and temptation and live honorable life to honor and glorify our Lord. So let me ask you a final question after I present this invitation. You can see humanity can be divided into two. You see, there are people with their heart written full of sin, and there are people with the heart having a new writing from God. The former sin is erased and new writing is there. So you see people all around, either of the two. So which is yours? Do you have a new heart that is written, that has a writing from God, a writing of new law and new life? Or are you still the same, with that old nature written in you? So we must ask the Lord to forgive us, to come to him, if we know, and if the Lord show us our deep nature this morning by his grace from his word. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, for you are so kind and compassionate for us. You know the heart of everyone this morning, what is written in our heart and what is guiding us in our life this morning. Our gracious Lord, you called us to come to yourself, to forgive us, to erase that sinful nature from our heart and give us and write upon our heart that new writing of your law. O gracious Lord, help us to come to you and ask, like David, blot out my iniquity from my own heart. O help us to ask this and to be saved from the consequence of sin and from the final judgment. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.